following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we've been talking about bullying. This is National Bullying Awareness Month, and I wondered, just as there are differences, which this has shocked people, that there are differences between boys and girls, but there are also, I would guess, differences between boy and girl bullies. In other words, what are the differences based on gender? How the ways that bullies bully?
Well, I think there has always been certain language that we're kind of used to. And I'll let you fill in the last word. You know the saying, boys will be what?
Boys.
That's right. So that's like, well, that just excuses boys from being whatever, you know, aggressive or whatever. That really is not the issue here. I mean, there are differences. Just if you take little children and you put them in a room, boys will be a certain way. They'll do more psh, bah, bing, noises and and more activity. Girls will coalesce. They'll look for someone that they can talk with, and so there's some very different. There are real differences when sociologists or those who study the difference between the genders, and I learned that years and years ago. But there are differences in terms of bullying. There are distinct differences between girl and boy bullies. First, let me just mention names. Names, not people's names, but there are categories or groups. The boys are known as bully gangsters, thugs, hoods, punks, goons. Girl bullies are known as bully princesses. Queen bees, the mean girls. I've seen that term more often for girls that are the bullies, mean girls. Boy bullies, they target victims typically 1 or 2 years younger. Girls, it's the same age. They target the same age peers. Boy bullies target both boys and girls. Girl bullies tend to target only girls. Boy bullies, well, they target students from other grades, whereas girl bullies tend to target girls from their own grade. Boys are more direct. Girls are more manipulative. Boy bullies are likely to inflict physical pain. Girl bullies are more likely to inflict emotional pain, name-calling, belittling. Boy bullies, they react more with anger and lash out aggressively. Girl bullies more often become depressed, with anger turned inward. Boy bullies are more physically aggressive, which I know you can hear. Girl bullies are more malicious with gossip. And boy bullies literally threaten harm. If you don't do, I'll bust your head wide open. Girl bullies, you know, I won't be your friend. I'm going to leave, and you won't have a friend, etc. That type of thing. They deal more relationally. Now, whether male or female, young or old, in God's timing, He will lift His hand against all who bully others. There's a very interesting passage, Isaiah 19, verse 16. They will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Lord Almighty raises against them. My point is, they don't get away with it in terms of, well, you know, they weren't held accountable for anything. And I think it's to just understand the difference can be helpful, so that if there is a threat to relationships, that's where a female who is a bully is trying to inflict fear, minimizing any kind of loyalty, letting the other person that they're bullying, the target, basically feel isolated, feel helpless, feel hopeless. Of course, the important thing for us, the deeper our relationship with the Lord, He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope. There's your hope. Hope and a future. So this is where those who are bullied need to be very aware of the Lord's role in coming alongside, enabling them to have hope in the midst of what could look like a hopeless situation. That's what makes a difference.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about tonight's topic or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the right resources. We have keys for living called Bullying, Bullied No More. And again, customer support is available at 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. You can find the new updated Keys for Living, Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources. And you'll find it all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight. We have returning to us this evening from Oregon, listening on podcast. Tonight, we welcome back James.
Well, I'm so glad we're able to talk again from yesterday. Thank you, James, for your candor when you spoke about, and most people don't use this term, the moral injury that you suffered, and you described that there was physical abuse as well as sexual abuse. And there were certain things that you said that I knew it could be helpful if we could talk again. What we, I'm mentioning this because I personally don't want you to feel terror of God, but yet certainly you were candid and you said that you felt more of a sense of terror. It's one thing to have I'm not sure if I'm trying to say some people are afraid of God because they think, if I've done certain things wrong, what will God do? But terror is such a strong word. And I wanted us to talk again. And I knew you had a few things that we could certainly deal with because you talked about forgiveness. And I was impressed. The person who specifically was physically abusive to you was an uncle. And you were able, it took a while, a long time, but to forgive him. And tell me, when you said you were able to forgive this uncle, did you feel any different following that forgiveness?
One of the reasons why I chose to forgive him was out of course, the scriptural obligation. But something else came up. My mother told me that my uncle had died. One of the individuals that I disclosed that to was my father. And I told him that I had forgiven my uncle. And he told me that he hadn't.
That he had not? Are you talking about your dad had not forgiven him? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Did he feel that there was no need, that he perhaps didn't deserve to be forgiven? What was going on with your dad, if you happen to think you know?
I would like to think the best of both my parents.
Okay.
Adding fuel to this fire, you could say my father is a conservative Christian. My mother is a liberal Christian. And I think part of my experience when I was growing up was seeing let me try to put this right. Seeing their example when I was growing up. One of the problems that impacts my faith, it's another problem, is that you would call me a political half-breed. My father's a Republican, my mother's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
In order for me to comply with the Fifth Commandment, I had to hydrogenate the two platforms in order to survive. My liberal mother is got her way of doing things. My conservative father does his things. It was kind of stressful when I saw my parents together. I would assume this is one of the reasons why they got divorced in 1980. It was an ugly divorce at that. I think in terms of their relationship together, that act by my mom's brother was one of the reasons why their marriage fell apart. They were together for the first 10 years of my life. Some things that I remember so vividly, I never saw them study the Word of God together. I never saw them tied to a church. I never saw them pray together. The environment was rather dicey, to say the least. And I think that there are still some bad dealings between the two.
Right. You know, when you say that, that there's something I want to comment on, because I remember when I was a teenager and I got exposed to the Bible, I knew the phrase, the Ten Commandments, but I couldn't have told you what they were or anything like that until I actually got into the Bible. And honor your father and mother. That's the one you're talking about. You said you were a political half-breed, and it sounds like you were torn. They were almost opposites. When you indicated one was conservative, one was liberal, etc. I didn't know what to do with the word honor your the words honor your father and mother, and I'm just going to tell you what I was mystified. I thought, what do I do? And my situation was still different, but I think there may be a bearing here for you. I remember trying to figure out how can I honor my father when there was all this just this lifestyle of immorality. And I learned that I could honor my father, my mother, by the way I live my life. In other words, this is what someone said to me. How you live your life will be a reflection, it could be positive or negative, on your parents. But if you honor your, it's bringing honor by virtue of if you're ethical, if you're Christ-like, you will honor your father and your mother. So my point is, what they do is another matter. That's an entirely different situation. And I'm saying that because I can understand how you felt torn. It's like, whichever way you go, it will be different, or you will be viewed differently depending on if it's your mother or your father. Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So my thought for you is, I hear that you are seeking to be a conscientious man, and that you are conscientious. And I think the issue is, you can't change them. You don't have the ability. None of us have the ability to change another person. And there are times when people will choose to be self-focused. Some people are arrogant. We have all these different kind of qualities that we see that are not right in God's sight. And yet, we can't do anything about what they do. Maybe later, if we are adults, there could be some impact. But typically, like when you were growing up, you just don't have the ability, and none of us have the ability to change people. So my point is, you honor your father and mother by the way you live your life. That way, when your name is mentioned, when you are considered in their thinking, they know that there are qualities that you have that they can admire. If you're conscientious, you know, candidly, in my family, I have all kinds of different political persuasions. I've just got to be true to the Lord. And I've been amazed at some changes that have taken place with people where, you know, family members, where we cancel out each other's votes, but there's not animosity. And I just stay focused on, God, what do you want me to be, and what do you want me to do? And the doing comes forth from the being.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver. You are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. Our customer support team is available at 800-488-HOPE. You can reach them anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources. They'd love to hear from you. Our keys for living tonight, we have abuse recovery from surviving to thriving. And you can get that again by calling customer support at 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June about something that's going on in your life, and you would care to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, or maybe you've been on Hope in the Night before and you want to tell people about your story and how God gets glory through that, just give us the rest of the story there. We'd appreciate a call from you as well. Call us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT 17. When you call, just leave a detailed message so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation now with James.
Well, my friend, when you talked about the moral injury, that's an excellent phrase. Moral has to do with right and wrong, and the injury is something that has impacted you, and you did suffer for the moral injury of the physical and the sexual abuse, but and then later the bullying that you described every other day, you described. This is horrible. You know, the bullying, punching you in the stomach. And you said, it's like I was the prey. But just to go back, if you would like, I want to know, have you been able to process the pain of the sexual abuse?
I would say not. Completely. I've been sexually abused by both men and women in my life, which has an effect on my sexual identity. I remember when I was 5 years old, we had a female babysitter one night, and she cross-dressed me.
Wow. Was this a one-time event, or was she a babysitter? So this was a one-time, so how did that make you feel?
Confused, to say the least.
Did your parents find out?
This is where it gets kind of dicey. It was alleged that my father was teaching high school at the time. And this was, of course, in the mid-70s. She was one of his students. He says that she was obsessed with him, and it was alleged that my father and her may have had an affair, which really intensifies the tension.
So it was alleged, are you saying this became to a degree... Obviously, some people knew about it, Did a lot of people know about this?
I don't remember right offhand.
Uh-huh. So how did you handle that? Or try to handle it?
It's affected my sexual identity, obviously. In the 70s, there was a different female babysitter that I was sexually assaulted by, and only that one didn't cross-dress me.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite unnerving, to say the least.
Sure.
And I started to from time to time cross-dress myself.
Hmm.
It affected me in terms of my development as a man. And sometimes I still have this struggle in my life.
Okay. So when you think about cross-dressing, tell me the emotion that you feel at the time when you are choosing to wear female attire.
Part of it is for the stimulation. Part of it is trying to identify with possibly how a woman feels. But mainly it's for the stimulation.
It's
been a while since I've done that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say that in regard to, well, before I make one other comment that I do want to share with you, tell me what your relationship was like with your dad.
It was kind of dicey at times.
Because?
I would have to say, there was that tension.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I was growing up, when my dad remarried in, I believe, 81, I saw this whole new person show up.
Hmm.
Hadn't been there for the first 10 years of my life.
Interesting.
I was so, attached to this one image that my father projected, and then a new image appeared when my stepmom came into the scene and came into the picture. And in the 80s, I would say I at times felt like a tennis ball in a political tennis match between my dad and my liberal mother.
Yes, yes. So are you thinking that when your dad remarried, the dad you knew changed? And it was, would you say it was because of him having a new wife? Was it her presence that he preferred? Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to share something with you based on multiple conversations I've had with people who, actually, I think it's all males. There were times when, I'm thinking about one man in particular, who he didn't understand why he was cross-dressing. I said, what was it like for you growing up? And he said, well, my dad always favored my sister, who was 2 years older. She would be able to sit on his lap. I was not invited to do that. She was the apple of his eye. I wanted to be the apple of his eye. And so she said, he said, I went to my sister's drawer in the bedroom, and I took some underpants. I put them over my pants, but under my long pants, my jeans. And then I felt differently because I now had, something that was from her, something that was feminine, because he definitely was favoring what was feminine, and I was a male. And even though there wasn't an overt change that I heard in the dad, he felt differently. And he said from that point on, it made him, it was an emotional response. And therefore, at times, when I've talked with a number of males in particular, it's not that they necessarily want to be dressing in female attire. It's just that there is a different feeling. Would you agree with that?
I think partially.
Yeah. So, since it's an emotional response to pain, it's like, well, this is appears to be a solution. The truth is, God did not create you to have female attire. In fact, when he created you, the Bible says he created us male and female. So he chose for you to be a male, just as he chooses females to be females.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of forgiveness, you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They're available to you Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'd be happy to help you get the right resources. And we are recommending the Keys for Living called Forgiveness. Releasing you is freeing me. And also Abuse Recovery, from Surviving to Thriving. The number again for customer support is 800-488-4673. You may also email them if that's better for you. It's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you might have regarding topics and resources in tonight's program. And their email again, customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Let's return to our conversation with James.
Well, my friend, when I hear the challenges of your life, all the way from the bullying, the sexual intrusion. You were taken advantage of, and this is wrong. But the one thing I don't want for you, I don't want you to be a prisoner of the past. Now, what that means is, the Bible says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one that I praise. In other words, you cannot help when you're young, when you're not an adult. You cannot help what has happened to you. Nobody gets to choose what family they're born into, what home life looked like, or certain things that were not necessarily in the home, but they still took place. We at times are victims of others' actions that are not right in God's sight. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, I would.
But I'm going to give you a very interesting passage that helped me, because I had a lot of pain, and I had a bizarre home life. Now, the thing that helped me was when I later learned, I had heard this scripture, but it's in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I thought like a child. But now that I'm an adult, I put childish ways behind me. What that means is, life is a series of choices. Life is a series of choices. Say that after me. Life is a series of choices.
Life is a series of choices.
Excellent. We can choose different situations, different outcomes, based on the ability that God gives us as adults. And the truth is, we talked, you and I have talked about the fact that we are not promised some protective bubble. There is no protective bubble that we have, even though we have a, if we have a desire to do what's right, we give our lives to Christ, whatever, I'm just telling you, it's that there's nothing that says if you do these things right, nothing bad will happen to you. That's not even the case within the Bible of multiple people who had all kinds of adversity. And yet they were yielded to God. So what we know is there is a reason for your life and for you to live in wholeness, literally yielding your will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that when he died on the cross for your sin and my sin, there were things we had done wrong. We chose wrong. That's where life is a series of choices. We at times choose wrong, and every single person has. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And sheep are known to stray. Sheep are the ones, the only creatures in the animal kingdom that need a shepherd. And so when Jesus knew we would all go astray, that did not catch him by surprise. And here he is, God. Jesus is, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says that he, well, that our sin separates us from God, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not want us separated. That's why he created heaven. There's a whole afterlife that's positive, yet we can still live as a prisoner of the past, but instead, what I know, even though there were very painful things that occurred to you, as was true with me, it's amazing how God can later use that pain for a purpose, so that we have compassion for others who have experienced things similar. I have an idea, and I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think that you have more empathy for those who are bullied than most people?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because see, you've experienced it firsthand.
Yeah.
That's right. And so you would have more empathy. And do you think you would have a heart to try to help if you could figure out what to do?
This is where consequential thinking comes into play. If I were to intervene, I could either be hurt physically or if I tried to stand up to a bully, the other option would be to use violence. And if that gets the cops involved, mm-hmm. that could send me to a literal prison.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is you have to weigh what is best during that situation. But yeah. I still hear that you care, where some people just don't care when other people are being hurt. I'm hearing that, yes, you have more empathy. And therefore, we have to learn, what do we do if God calls us to act? And we have material on that. And my friend, I'm sending that to you. So you might be able to help others in terms of you may be in a conversation and you can say, this is what you do. This is what will be helpful to you. I think the issue is, I see over and over how God has used people who go through pain, and it's used for a purpose. In the Bible, Joseph, he had brothers who sold him into slavery. And, well, there were things that happened that they were going to kill him, actually, initially, his brothers. And instead, all these different things happened, but he always responded in the right way, even though he was treated unjustly, until, oddly enough, extraordinarily enough, he became prime minister of Egypt. And then here his brothers come. They don't even know it's him as prime minister. They are starved. They are trying to buy, because of this famine, they're trying to buy grain. And ultimately, through the whole, the bottom end, the end of the story is, he forgives them. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So what I can say to you is,
there, with those that hurt me in the past, I must confess this, sometimes I wish that they had been aborted at Planned Parenthood, so I wouldn't have had to have dealt with them.
I understand.
I know,
sure,
that's not a good attitude to have, but that's sometimes the thinking that comes through my mind on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send something to you, because you had mentioned to me a challenge of forgiveness. And I'm going to ask, if you could write down the name of every person who has harmed you, hurt you, and just from a chronological standpoint, who caused hurt, who caused harm, who did wrong things to you, and start early on, you know, from your earliest years, and put what those are, each person. Because I think what we can do is what God wants us to do, and what God wanted me to do, and it's how to forgive when you don't feel like it. It's the specifics of taking that person off of your emotional hook. You're not letting them off the hook. You just take them off of your emotional hook and you put them onto God's hook, because he says, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. The point is, you want to be fully set free. And I commend you for that. But if you would do that part, write down chronologically who has hurt you, who has harmed you, who has been difficult for you to forgive. There's something we can do with that. And I just want to say, there's all the hope in the world for you, my friend. And we're going to be able to do something very specific that you will be grateful for, because His truth sets you free.
We will send the keys for living called Forgiveness. Releasing you is freeing me. Send that out to tonight's caller free of charge. We can do that because of your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, please do so at hopefortheheart.org/donate. And you can find the donate button there. It's hopefortheheart.org. And also, you may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our Facebook page. It is called Hope in the Night. Just go and like that page and share it with your friends. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.